Okay. I guess you couldn't get that going yet, huh?
Well, no, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Well, God bless everybody. I feel like I can see you, but I know this is all virtual, but God bless you guys. And as usual, it's always such a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share God's word with you tonight. And, you know, after the last teaching that I did, I had someone, well, more than one someone, ask me why I would spend so much time looking at the return of Christ and at what the Word says about the return of Christ. And because this person was under the impression, at least one person, that you have to watch the news all the time and know everything that's going on. And it's so far from that. The Word is just so full of wonderful, wonderful prophecies that tell us about not only the Lord's return, but about what awaits us when he returns. And so I kind of broke it down into a couple of simple statements that I believe that the Lord is saying. And it's that he says, I'm going away, but I will absolutely return for you. No matter what challenges you face in your life, always remember that. And when I come back, the most amazing thing that has ever happened to any person will happen to you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that is really fast. Your body will be changed, and you will suddenly be with me and your loved ones in the clouds. How exciting is that? If you want to know when that will happen, search the scriptures and see what it says. It will tell you when that time is close. Watch and be ready. Behold, I come quickly. Looking for the Lord's return is a very exciting time in life. And what I would like to look at tonight is some of the rewards that will await us. But I'd like to look at it from the perspective of what it means to receive a reward. And we've probably all experienced times in life where we were involved in an activity that offered a reward. Perhaps it was a special bonus at work or winning a raffle because you purchased the winning ticket or receiving a blue ribbon at the end of a race. Well, several years ago when our children were young, we attended a track and field day at the elementary school where our two younger children were participating. For a portion of the events, my husband watched one child's events and I watched the other, and then we swapped places. During the time that I was watching my daughter Rachel's events, I felt a tug on my jacket and looked down to see one of Rachel's friends named Jesse standing there. And she looked to be somewhat distraught, and I squatted down to talk to her. She said, Mrs. Booz, would you please talk to Rachel? She isn't running very fast because she wants only pink ribbons. As it turned out, there had already been a couple of team events, and Rachel was only running at half speed because she wanted the pink ribbons because pink was her favorite color. The only problem with that was that pink was for fifth place, and Rachel's teammates knew that she could run really fast. It seemed that Rachel had no idea what it meant to compete by doing her best, but rather she wanted to compete to get the ribbon of her choice. And that brings up the question as to whether the notion that everybody is a winner in school competition these days is actually godly, but I digress. Once I had an opportunity to talk to Rachel and explain that the best way to run in a race was to run to win, she really poured it on and ran past the other kids as if they were standing still. Granted, the ribbons were now blue or red, but the joy of her teammates made up for the difference in the color of the ribbon. It's important to know that there are rewards awaiting us at the end of this race called life on this earth. Perhaps we have all heard teachings on the various crowns that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ. Just like it was hard for Rachel to fathom that it was important to strive to do her best in the race, it might also be hard for believers to understand that there is a prize awaiting us for our work done here on earth. So let's look at the word and see what it says about rewards. So the first occurrence of the word reward appears in Genesis 15:1. It says, after these things, and these things were Abram's encounter with the king of Sodom, where he refused to accept a gift from him. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That word for reward in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, is the Greek word mythos, meaning of the fruit naturally resulting from toils and endeavors. And it's also used of divine recompense, what God gives, of the rewards which God bestows or will bestow upon good deeds and endeavors. Here, God tells Abraham that he will be the one to provide protection and rewards. The first occurrence of the word reward in the New Testament is Matthew 5, and it is also the Greek word mythos, and that occurs in Matthew 5:46, which says, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Now, there's another word for reward used in the New Testament, and it first occurs in Matthew 6. In verse 4, it says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Here, the word for reward is apodidomai, and it means to deliver, to give away for one's own profit what is one's own, to sell, to pay off, to discharge what is due, things that are promised under oath. These two words for reward are brought together in one word used in a unique occurrence in a verse that many of us know, Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is a combination of the words mythos and apodidomai, that word rewarder. So let's look and see what this means. What is it that God is a rewarder? What does it mean that God is a rewarder? Now, there's a parable in Matthew chapter 20 that I think very accurately exemplifies what it means for God to be a rewarder. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now notice that the householder only quoted a payment to the very first laborers. He quoted a penny for the day. And for the others, he told them that he would pay whatever was right. So then in verse 8, it says, So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them, apodidomai, their hire, mythos, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, notice that it says it was the Lord of the vineyard who gave the instruction to the steward to call the workers. So this was not the householder, it was the Lord. Verse 9, And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. That goodman of the house is the householder, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? That take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. So some questions that you can just ask yourself as you think about this parable. Did the laborers have to provide their own place to work? Nope. The householder provided it. Did the laborers seek out the householder, or did the householder seek the laborers? The householder sought the laborers. Did everyone who worked receive a reward? Yes, and the reward was not based on the work of another. Each laborer was paid individually. Who provided the tools and the instructions for how the work was to be done? The householder assigned a lord of the vineyard to oversee the work, and the lord assigned a steward. Surely not every laborer had the same task. Some may have gathered grapes, some may have sorted and picked the grapes, some may have juiced the grapes, etc. The jobs assigned were assigned by the Lord, who was given that position by the householder. When the workday was done, the Lord instructed the steward to call the workers to come and receive their pay from the Lord. Payment was not based on how long the laborer worked, but rather on the fact that the laborer worked. Longevity offered no advantage. So the householder, God, assigned a Lord, Jesus Christ, over the vineyard, this world in which we live. And the Lord had a steward, Holy Spirit, who interacts with the workers. We have been called by God to work in his vineyard, and he has assigned the oversight to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do the job assigned by the Lord. We don't just decide what we are going to do. And we use the tools that the Lord gives us to get the job done. Holy Spirit. The rewards we receive are based on our faithfulness to perform the work we have been called to do with the tools provided by Holy Spirit that came by way of our Lord. And some of those rewards are, and I'm going to quickly go through what the five crowns are. Now, that doesn't mean these are the only rewards. And I will provide a handout on these crowns so that you have time to look them up and look at all the scriptures, because time doesn't allow for me to do that right now. But there is the crown of glory, which is for the believer who is a leader in the church and leads according to godly standards, and for the believers who respond in a godly manner toward the leadership. Then there's the crown incorruptible, and that's for the believer who decides to run the race in life to engage the opponent and win. This involves mastery over the sinful nature through spiritual discipline, something that requires Holy Spirit. There's the crown of life for the believer who endures trials, tribulations, and persecution for Christ's sake. And this requires that we maintain trust in God, and that requires far more than brute strength. It requires Holy Spirit. There's the crown of rejoicing for the believer who brings others to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it requires that we walk with God by way of Holy Spirit. And then there's the crown of righteousness. And that's for the believer who looks for the appearing and loves the appearing of the Lord. And this is far more than just knowing that the Lord will return one day. It's waiting. God tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1 that we are to wait for his Son from heaven. And that wait for is to await one whose coming is known or foreseen. So, for example, if you're waiting for an Uber or a Lyft, you watch for the arrival of the vehicle so that you can go out as soon as it arrives and you don't have to pay to keep the driver waiting, right? You are awaiting that. And that's what we are doing. We are awaiting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean we need to be up to our elbows in bad news and everything going on in the world? Absolutely not. But it does mean that we are aware of what our Lord has told us and that we can pay attention so that we can keep our eyes and ears open, knowing that that trumpet will sound soon. So let us diligently seek God, and when given a task to do, let us run the race with the goal in mind of doing our best. Then, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive our rewards, and those rewards will last throughout all of eternity. God bless you.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jan. Why don't you close with a word of prayer, please?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be yours and to know that we are yours. We can speak in tongues and be reminded at any moment that we belong to you and that your word is true and that our Lord Jesus Christ shall return for us. So thank you, Father, for so lovingly giving your word so that we can search the scriptures. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to fellowship around your word and share your word with one another so that we can run this race together. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, boy, amen to that.